Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox 11 is another documentary special from Fox 11. This is on drought, wildfires, and guess who's been interviewed as part of it?
Me. I was.
Oh, you are?
I'm in it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Gavin Newsom.
No, I don't know if he's in it, but I'm in it.
You are in it. They came to your home. They asked you questions and you responded.
Right.
The clip they used in the preview that we played earlier is John saying, well, the Pacific Ocean is there. Let's use it.
Okay. That's right. I stand by it. I don't think anybody has a better argument. It's called Hell No Water. Hell/No Water. 7 o'clock tonight on Fox 11.
All right. We're now going to talk to the El Cajon mayor, Bill Wells. He's been making the news, and now it's involving the attorney general, Rob Bonta. He's been saying that San Diego County has been inequitably, that's a good word, distributing motel vouchers. El Cajon is taking in, he says, a large majority of San Diego County's homeless, and it has resulted in some problems with crime.
He said he sent warning notices to 7 El Cajon motels who are in the voucher program, accusing the motels of operating unauthorized emergency shelters, and he was threatening fines up to $1,000 a day.
So now Rob Bonta, the attorney general, has filed a lawsuit demanding that Wells immediately rescind those notices. Wow. Well, this has gotten big.
Yeah, and Wells wants to know why the wealthier towns in San Diego County, like Del Mar and La Jolla, don't shelter the homeless like El Cajon is. Let's talk to Bill Wells, El Cajon mayor. El Cajon is just east of San Diego. Down in San Diego County. Bill, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me out.
How long has the county been sending homeless people to El Cajon motels? How long has this been going on?
It's kind of a funny thing. We asked that question, too, and they wouldn't even tell us what day the program started. We think it's been going on about 3 or 4 months. We've seen about 138% increase in crimes involving a gun. We've seen an 88% increase in crimes overall. And just over the last few days, we've arrested 47 people that had outstanding felony warrants, all from the hotel program.
And who's actually sending them? This is the county social services? Who's doing this?
Yeah, so the county gets all the money to treat the homeless. They don't really do any treating of the homeless themselves. And so they have to send them to some other place. So what they did is they started this voucher program, which we knew about. We knew there was going to be a voucher program. It didn't really upset us, but we figured it would be spread out, like you said, equitably throughout the rest of the county. But all of a sudden, we saw this huge increase in the number of homeless people that were on our streets. We started doing some digging and found out that even though El Cajon only represents about 5% of the county, 45% of this program is residing right here in our hotels.
Jeez. Well, that would be inequitable. Yes.
That's out of whack there. So
why do you think they're picking on El Cajon? Are the hotels cheaper there? Or?
Yeah, well, look, El Cajon's kind of an interesting town. There's a lot of very wealthy areas, but there's also some very low-income areas. And so we have some low-income hotels, and those low-income hotels are more interested in being involved in the voucher program. So I get that. But I think it also has to do with the fact that we're in the East, and all these coastal liberals, they live on the coast. And, you know, Frank, we're one of the few conservative areas of San Diego County. They don't like us very much. And so I think it's pretty comfortable for them to go ahead and try to make us into basically a homeless ghetto.
Okay, so how does the law work here? Because these voucher programs are very common in California. A lot of motels have been welcoming that business, right, because it's easy money for them. And then you're saying, no, you're actually running an unauthorized emergency shelter and you're threatening a $1,000 a day fine. Like, what's the line between a homeless voucher program and an emergency unauthorized shelter?
So any business that wants to do business in our city, or basically any city, has to get what you call a conditional use permit. And that conditional use permit just says you're authorized to have business for basically what you applied for. So if you want to do business as a hotel, you get a conditional use permit to be a hotel, and you can have 100% of your rooms filled as a hotel. But when you start getting past the 25% occupancy in your hotel, we've had several hotels that were 100% occupied or 80% occupied with homeless vouchers. When you get past that 25% mark, we believe that you have violated your conditional use permit. You're no longer a hotel. You're basically a de facto homeless shelter. And so we've said, hey, look, you know, if you want to be a homeless shelter, apply and become a homeless shelter, but you can't say you're a hotel and then act like a homeless shelter.
That's a very reasonable argument.
Right.
So now, how did the Attorney General get involved in this, Rob Bonta?
So there's a guy named Nathan Fletcher, who's a very left-wing, very woke county supervisor in San Diego that would like to be governor someday. And he's extremely connected to Sacramento, and he called up the Attorney General, and the Attorney General, interestingly enough, without calling us, without doing any investigation, just citing a county letter and citing a newspaper article, sent us a cease and desist order and threatened to sue us. So that happened on Friday afternoon, which we think was completely unprofessional and very surprising, to be honest.
You call this a one-sided argument that they didn't even reach out to you guys for any kind of questions.
Because, I mean, you laid out that you have a legal case here. So it seems like Bonta should meet with you and sort out what the law is and what responsibility your city has with this voucher program. I mean, they can't send in unlimited numbers of homeless people to your town.
And this is where it gets really interesting. Because if you accept what the state attorney general has said, you, in essence, are saying that any time a county designates a city to take homeless vouchers, they can fill up 100% of those hotels with 100% homeless vouchers, and there's not a single thing the city can do about it. They can't rely on their code. They can't rely on their ordinances. They just have to take it. And so any county can designate any other city to be basically a homeless ghetto and have the crime increase and all the problems that come with that. And that seems very un-American to me.
Okay, so you met with the motel owners. You temporarily rescinded the warnings that you sent. What's the outcome now? Are they going to keep the homeless, or are you going to try to force them to give up some of those new neighbors?
Well, as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to a closed session meeting with my counsel, and we're going to decide exactly how much money we want to spend to defend ourselves and defend our city. It's a shame that a small city like El Cajon, where 100,000, has to spend, you know, a couple million dollars defending ourselves against the unlimited power of the California state government and their army of attorneys. But that's what's happening. I think that there's a real disregard for the rule of law, and it's all politics now.
Oh, so they bully you, force you to take the homeless people, and then when you protest, they're going to bankrupt you with a long legal process.
Yeah, you figure it out really quick. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, and they know that most cities will be frightened by this, and they'll just capitulate and give up and just take whatever's given to them. But I don't think we're going to do that. I suspect we're going to fight.
Can't Bonta sit down and or somebody in the county and spread these homeless people out around the whole county? And that is a good point about La Jolla and Del Mar. I mean, are they how many are they taking in?
Absolutely zero. You know, it's interesting. So we have, there's 18 hotels in this program. We have 8 of them. The city of San Diego, which is, I think, 14 times our size, has 2. So that tells you everything you really need to know.
And that's where all the progressives are.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. It's tough to fight an army of hypocrites like that, especially when they're serving in government. All right, Bill. Well, listen, stay in contact with us because I'm really curious how this turns out.
Well, if you're interested, I'll let you know how it turns out. Thank you so much for having me on and hearing our case.
All right.
It's Bill Wells, the mayor of El Cajon, just outside of San Diego, with the story that they're taking on way too much of a proportion of the homeless in their local motels. And as you heard Bill explain, that at some point they're shelters, and there would be a different set of rules that would apply to motels that actually become homeless shelters.
Nathan Fletcher, who's the county supervisor down there, I've followed him for years. He's a class A, obnoxious, progressive jerk. He's one
and?
Of those. He's their version of Bonin.
And his wife is Lorena Gonzalez.
Lorena Gonzalez, right.
AB5,
right.
That woman.
That troublemaking.
Who's now at the big union, right?
Yeah, it's that troublemaking legislator. Who
they're a pair. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God. They're far left-wing, practically communists. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And Bonta is another bully. And they have no business sending all the vagrants to El Cajon. They should chase all the vagrants out of the county.
Yeah, where's the equity?
Yeah, there's no equity, right. Gee, why do you think La Jolla doesn't have any of these?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Imagine that, you know, you're the mayor of El Cajon, and you suddenly look around and realize, wait a minute, there's suddenly a lot of homeless people in town. So you check it out, and you find out that they're being sent to many of the motels by San Diego County Homeless Services, whatever. And then you realize that you're getting way too many on a percentage basis. So you do the logical thing and you said, well, these hotels are now becoming shelters. They're exceeding, you know, their occupancy is at a point now where they are de facto homeless shelters. So you raise questions about this and now you got the attorney general threatening you?
Yeah, well, it's not Rod Bonta's business. It's something for the county and the city of El Cajon to sort out. For one thing, they shouldn't be allowing all these homeless to be living on the streets and then creating these bizarre incentive programs for motels to take them in.
Right.
Because it affects the neighborhood, it affects the city. You end up with so much more crime and so many weird, perverted, disgusting things. Well, a lot of these homeless have criminal records. And we've said this 1,000 times. Most of them are mentally ill or have drug addictions or both, or they're criminals. That's it. That's like 100% of them. And most of them are guys. And most of them are young to middle-aged guys, which is, you know, the sweet spot for trouble. So why would you dump them all in El Cajon? But he explained it. You know, they live a little outside the city. It's more conservative.
Yeah, the usual coastal elites are like, let's just dump this problem on someone else, not in my backyard.
So these progressive snots like Nathan Fletcher, who is bad news, if he's running for governor, holy crap.
Yeah, he's a San Diego County supervisor.
Oh, he is terrible. He's bad news, okay? And they're hypocrites.
Yes, yeah.
And they're absolutely hypocrites because they would never put the homeless people in the districts where they get all their campaign donations. You know the campaign donations are coming from places like Del Mar and La Jolla. Well, there's no way they're going to put homeless people there. It's like, screw it. go out and send the homeless out among those right-wing rubes in El Cajon. Let them deal with all the feces and the needles. And Wells has every right to say, well, F you, we're not going to do that.
And it's crime. They're not dealing with just feces and needles. It's crime.
So Nathan Fletcher calls.
They made a number of arrests. And plus, we've got to ask Bill Wells this, but they're not vetting them. They're sending probably people with criminal backgrounds.
Oh, of course. Of course, no. It's a dumping ground. It's like, you know, you people are unwashed, diseased riffraff. So we're going to send the homeless into your town. But those of us who live in La Jolla and live on the water in Del Mar, we'll keep our neighborhoods pristine. Yeah, you think you've seen those hotels in La Jolla? You think there's even one homeless person in one of those hotels? Now, I don't think the government should be sending anybody to anybody's hotel. But if you want to start chanting equity, waving the equity flag all day, well, here's your equity. Take a proportionate number of homeless people and put it in those wealthy hotels.
Yeah, I forgot what the mayor's stats were on the percentage of homeless they've taken into El Cajon hotels.
45%.
45. And they're like 5% of the county population?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it's 9 times the proportion. That is inequitable.
Wow.
And so screw
I'm glad
that.
He's raising a stink about this. He's got a lot of media coverage.
Yeah, and Bonta is Fletcher's buddy, so Fletcher calls up Bonta and says, could you help me out here?
Yeah, do something about this mayor.
Yeah.
He's stopping my dump program.
Yeah, so suddenly you get lawyers writing up threatening letters. And he's right. He goes, El Cajon doesn't have the 100,000 people. They don't have the budget to go to court against the state of California. So it's like, just eat it. Take all these vagrants and stick it.
Today, and we talked about this last week, a very famous San Diego County resident by the name of Bill Walton. Remember him? A member of the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Sure.
He's now a sports announcer on ESPN, basketball coverage, college basketball. He sat down with something called the Lucky Duck Foundation. I never heard of them, but they were co-founded in 2005. And they work on social issues. It's a nonprofit, such as homelessness. It was co-founded by a couple named Pat and Stephanie Kilkenny. And their main guest today at a news conference was Bill Walton. He was speaking today at the University of San Diego about what they want to do with the homeless problem. If you missed it last week, we talked about Bill Walton because he thinks the mayor of San Diego should resign. Todd Gloria. Gotta go. Because Bill has lived in this area for a long time, and he says he's never seen it this bad. He was personally harassed by homeless people in Balboa Park. And he used that word, John, that's like the third rail for these progressives, enforcement.
Yes.
Walton was talking about enforcement. You got to have an enforcement mechanism. And as soon as they hear that, this no. crowd, like the Fletchers, you're dead. I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, no, no. They poop in their pants when they hear that word. It makes them crazy.
What they do, they cancel you. That's what they do. They cancel you. I don't want to hear from you anymore. You're dead. We're not going to talk to you.
Well, this is
you're an extremist. You're a fascist. Whatever word you want.
This has got to be the big war because they are actively destroying our way of life. So either people are going to band together and stand up for it and fight back, or you're going to get overrun. Because what we have is an invasion of every miscreant in America, everybody with a mental problem and a drug addiction and a bad childhood is coming to Southern California. There's more than half the homeless in the state of California, more than half. It is inequitable.
Yes, we've taken on more than our share.
This is not equity. So why is it that San Diego and LA, anywhere, has to accept this influx? Because I'm telling you, the mayors and the police officers and the sheriffs all over this country are loading these guys on Greyhound buses and sending them here. And they're coming off at the bus stations in L.A. and San Diego, and they've been promised carte blanche, and they get it. And so you've got to fight that. And you elect these officials who accept this. And the degradation, the day-to-day living, the degradation of our day-to-day life is just horrific. It's awful. And you cannot be afraid that you're going to get canceled, you're going to be criticized, you're going to be accused of some kind of ism. You got to grow up and grow a pair, get over that and start fighting back. You got to be swinging. Because these people are bad news. They're anarchists. They're very destructive.
If you accept it, you get more of it. In California, of course, with its policies, has been very, at a minimum, accepting. Beyond that, accommodating.
Yeah.
So that's why we have gotten more of this.
And almost everybody I know says, I don't want to live like this. Well, then don't live like this. Do something. You're too comfortable. You're too accepting. You're letting them get away with destroying your city, destroying your county, destroying your way of life just because they said so. And who are they? They're a small fringe that infiltrated their way into power. But they can be dealt with. You just have to coalesce, and you've got to vote for other people. You've got to get in their face. You've got to make it clear every day. Could tell them you're not putting up with this.
All right, we got more. Another terrible story involving a vagrant coming up. We'll also update you on the big story this afternoon out of the Barstow Hesperia area on the 15 freeway, where there was a shootout between San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies and a man that was wanted under an Amber Alert for running off with his 15-year-old daughter after killing his wife in Fontana. More coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
We're going to be bringing back the voice line in 3 days. You can leave your messages anytime using the iHeartRadio app. That way you use the microphone icon. We do listen to those messages. A lot of them make it on the voice line Friday. Or you call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. This is one hell of a disturbing story. You may have heard that somebody broke into an off-duty L.A. County probation officer's home in Lancaster and killed her early Sunday morning. Her name is Paula Lynn. She was beaten to death. They have arrested the transient. Not only are they charging him with murder, but also defiling a corpse. He had sexual contact with the dead body.
Yeah, wow. A transient.
Now, even the Times is a bit frustrated, saying prosecutors have charged him as John Doe. A spokesman for the DA's office did not immediately respond to questions about why law enforcement couldn't ascertain the defendant's identity today. Why is that so? He is 33 years old.
Well,
and sometimes uses the name Sandro Vladimir Martinez Marroquin, but we don't have an exact ID.
I have no idea, but the suspicious part of me, first thing I think of is, does he have a really bad record that they don't want revealed?
Was he the beneficiary of some kind of policies?
Right, exactly.
We find out that we don't know whether or not she was attacked because she was a probation officer, or
Was
this just a random thing that he broke into her home and killed her? And
right, because that would be the second curious thing. She was a probation officer, so is this somebody who got a cheap deal, and instead of being in prison or a psych ward, he was one of her clients?
Yeah, prosecutors have not indicated the assault had anything to do with her job as a probation officer. There was also, John, they filed a gun enhancement. I thought Gascon doesn't do that.
Well, yeah,
apparently there was a shotgun, but they're not saying if it was used in the attack.
All right, that's the third mysterious thing then. You know, it's a really heinous, it's really horrible, right? The murder, but then had sex with the corpse after the murder. And they don't want to give his name. And she's a probation officer.
Yeah.
And
turns out her longtime boyfriend is also a probation officer, but he was not home at the time.
Right. So random attack.
She just came home from work when the attack happened.
Yeah.
This guy smashed through a sliding door. I got a feeling she was targeted.
And there's a gun enhancement when he never issues gun enhancements. So what are they withhold? Or is he trying to get ahead of the story? But that's what I noticed Gascon does.
He does.
When there's
something
really heinous and he's got some responsibility in it, they go into overdrive so that the first headlines are, the guy's caught and we have these gun enhancements and we have all these felony charges and it's really disgusting. It's like, well, wait a second. Why was this guy on the loose? What kind of transient was he? Was he a transient with a criminal record? I mean, we'll find out eventually. But he wants at least 24 hours to get his cheap headlines out there first.
Yeah, it says he was a transient known in the area in Lancaster. That's all they're saying.
And he just suddenly picked this woman to commit this monstrous act.
Right after she got home from work.
Yeah.
He was right there to smash his way into the house, attacked her. And then, assaulted her corpse.
It's like I said before, I'm not believing in conspiracies, but I don't believe in coincidences here.
No. Oh, he beat her in the head.
I think there's reasons that things happen, which often don't become publicized because the perpetrators, like Gascon, don't want them publicized, and the enablers, like, you know, most of the media, don't want them publicized.
Now, the other big story, which broke this afternoon, we had a news conference in the 4 o'clock hour, concerns an Amber Alert that went out yesterday for a 15-year-old teenager who apparently was taken by her father after the father killed her mother. The father is 45-year-old Anthony John Graziano. The development today is that his vehicle was spotted on the 15 freeway up in the area of Barstow. So when the cops got there, it was sheriff's deputies from San Bernardino County. There was a shootout, and it ended up in the area of Hesperia. The 45-year-old man is dead, but the big development, which has to be obviously explained further, is that the 15-year-old daughter is dead too. Her name is Savannah. The only thing the sheriff, Shannon Dyke, has said at a news conference is that they were both wearing tactical gear. And we understand that she jumped out of the vehicle towards sheriff deputies, and apparently they shot her. But they're still not confirming whether or not her father shot her or they shot her. We don't know that.
I think Steve came in and said that they shot her because the law enforcement shot her because she was running towards them.
Which, if she's the victim, you're not supposed to do unless she definitely has a weapon and she's firing
it. I don't know. She was dressed in the tactical gear, so I don't know.
It's very strange. Now, I know it's difficult in the chaos of a shootout, but I thought they had different tactics when they know there's a, quote, hostage that might be in the car, so you don't, I don't know.
See, I think when you have...
Is she a hostage? We don't know.
Well, when you have unusually wild situations, there's a lot of adrenaline pumping, a lot of confusion. And sometimes officers just react.
When he killed his wife, he just started shooting all over the neighborhood in Fontana.
So that's an extreme amount of stress they went through for a long period of time, because you also had the long chase from Barstow to Hesperia. So their adrenaline was at max levels. And sure, one of them could have just pulled the trigger.
Then you mentioned that
What's... Oh, he's got tattoos. Steve told me they're on his neck.
Did you take a closer look?
Yeah. Steve told me they're Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's Frankenstein's images right there in the middle of his neck, in the front, under his beard.
Guy like that, when you see Frankenstein up to the guy's beard, all over his neck, you might as well put him in prison right there, as soon as you see the tattoos.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Yeah. No, it's like with gang members too. All right? When I see neck tattoos, I'm crossing the street.
Yeah, see, I'm looking down. His arm is full of tattoos too.
Yeah, that is a particular kind of violent psychosis. And they're acting out by showing off how violent and dominant they can be, how crazy they are. That when you do that to your body, that kind of self mutilation, which is really what it is. This isn't an innocent little flower on your shoulder, okay? You got Frankenstein roaring out of your neck. You're a psycho.
Savannah Graziano was 15 years old. Obviously, there's going to be a long investigation into exactly why she was shot dead. I think Steve said that they only believe there was one weapon that would have belonged to the father. So that's what doesn't make sense either. She's running at them with a gun and shooting at them. That's one thing, but we don't know that was the case.
Well, we're going to find out that some of this is just wrong. You know, some of the information is just wrong. And
that is also very... possibly true.
Yeah.
All right. We've got more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, I just got a media release from the county of Los Angeles, the Parks and Recreation. There is a park in Stevenson's Ranch called Pico Canyon. It has been temporarily closed because a mountain lion attacked a 7-year-old child yesterday. Oh, the child did suffer non-life-threatening injuries. Fish and Wildlife are conducting an investigation.
That kid's really lucky.
Yeah.
Mountain lions don't get around.
Aggressive mountain lion seen in the area.
Yeah. Well, when I lived in the hills, we saw mountain lions a couple of times. right? Within sight. They'd be lurking in the trees. We'd be walking up the hilly roads.
Right.
And you could see in some of the wooded areas.
Did you see that one of the more recent mountain lions that they found dead, the ones that they had tagged? It was a female. Looks like rat poison killed it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's an ongoing public dispute online among people who want to kill their mice and rats, and people who say you got to stop using the poison because it kills the mountain lions.
It kills other wildlife.
Yeah, kills the other wildlife.
Hmm.
There's always people pissing on each other on the Nextdoor app over that issue.
Well, we do know how it is on college campuses with the wokesters and all the cancel culture and the lack of free speech. Apparently, the college in the United States that has been ranked the worst for free speech is Columbia. Columbia University in New York City.
Ivy League.
Ranked last for free speech on campus. And how do they do this?
Well, they have a very good journalism school too. Come on.
They surveyed students and asked them what their opinion was.
The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression ranked Columbia last in its third annual college free speech rankings. They surveyed 45,000 students from more than 200 colleges. And wow, out of a score of 100, Columbia got a 9.91. That's pretty low for free speech.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they talk to some of the students, and if you say something out loud in class, then you're cut off. You are canceled. No one will talk to you anymore socially.
Hmm. And, is that really what will happen? They'll cut you off?
And you know what? I told you, my sons have gone through classes, and there is that mentality. Often the professors are like that, and they get brutal. There is an anger and an arrogance in a lot of the woke people, whether they're administrators, professors, or the students. And if you're just slightly out of line, you get whacked. It's like some old-fashioned fundamentalist religion.
Like a mobster, you're whacked.
Yeah, right, yeah. No, it's like you heard, you know, what's that controversy in Iran? The woman didn't wear the hijab, didn't wear the scarf.
Oh, the morality police came and got her, yeah.
That's exactly what this is. It's the morality police. And the students feel deputized, and they're righteous, and they feel that they're doing God's work. It is very much like a very harsh, fundamentalist religious cult.
So we're going to be in a situation where only like-minded people attend certain schools, right? Because all just be progressive wokesters.
If you read this and you have middle of the road or conservative views, would you go to Columbia? Why would you want to spend 4 years either never saying a word out loud, never sharing a thought, or getting scolded and chased and embarrassed?
But classrooms are supposed to be full of debate and open conversations.
No, it's the old century. Yeah. It really is extremely prevalent. More than people know. They don't want to believe it.
We had to talk about our feelings at the beginning of one of my classes the morning after the 2016 election.
Our feelings.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, that's right. After the Trump election, there's a lot of, like, you got to stand up and state your pronouns on the first day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So if you walk around Columbia with a MAGA hat, it's probably not going to go well?
No, you will be accused of creating a hostile atmosphere.
You're a fascist.
It's worse. They'll try to get you disciplined. In fact, a professor will probably say that you're inciting people. You're committing aggressions here.
You will be canceled. Whacked.
Yeah. It is really ugly out there.
No kidding.
All right, Conway's here.
You know, I think it's safer in the country of Columbia for conservatives.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know? At least you can talk.
Ding dong, you came in prepared.
Hey, come on. I listen to the program, right?
I do.
Chad Carson's coming on. He lives in Florida, and he's right in the bullseye of this hurricane.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so we'll talk to
him.
Not
evacuating?
Nah, I think he's going to try and stick it out. He's one of those guys.
Stand on the roof.
And who is Chad? A friend of yours?
Friend of a friend. Okay. I did his podcast before, and he's really a funny guy. Good guy. But to speak to somebody who's like literally, I mean, tonight boarding up and getting food and, you know, hunkering down.
Oh, what town is he in?
Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
But you know what? With the Nord Stream 1 and 2 being blown up, if they found out the United States did that, I'm coming to your house to get in a bomb shelter. That's going to be bad, man.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows about the Cobalt Shelter.
Well, it takes a lot of knowledge and a lot of sophistication, first of all, to find those pipelines underwater.
Yes.
And then to blow them up in three different areas.
Right.
Only NATO or, you know, some sophisticated country did
it's
that.
It's not just some local thug.
No way. There's there's no way somebody from Iraq could pull that off. There's no way.
Yeah.
It had to be a top shelf guy. And then Mark Thorpe is a travel expert. We're talking about traveling over the holidays. It's going to be hell. There are fewer flights. It's going to be more expensive. It's a mess.
No,
and then we had the NFL's reportedly has possible backup stadium for the Chiefs-Bucks game if the hurricane whips around and destroys the field.
That is in Tampa, that game, right?
Yes. Bad vibes. And Los Angeles and San Francisco ranked, the most foul-mouthed compared to other cities in California.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
Foul mouth.
Like F's and S's. And
well, because of all the homeless. That's why.
Well, maybe my mom.
Tim started that thing with just using the first letter of certain words. I've noticed that. Shannon does it too now.
That's right.
Oh, he took a lot of S for that.
I got in trouble the first time I said it. Because, Eric, you're ready to hit the dump button here. I said that, this guy got, I guess I can't say it on the air because I got thrown off the air for saying
John
it the
messed
first
up the
time.
Other day.
You got thrown off the air and you're about to say it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's a good one.
This
that's
is the time things. Where Ken and I say goodbye.
How many times have you been fired in radio, you two?
Oh.
Like never, right?
Yes, once.
Once.
Once in New Jersey?
No, KBC.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I've been fired twice and suspended three times.
All right, we got suspended once, too.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
I got dragged into it.
Yeah.
I got dragged into it.
I didn't say anything.
By the way, I got dragged into it, too.
All right,
you did?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Oh, we got to change stories someday. Thank God.
That's right. Why are you dragging me into it? I can do this on my own.
All right, we got to go.
All right, get out of here.
KFI, KOSD, HD2, Los Angeles, yeah. Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.